Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
It's been a rough month in a lot of ways, and I've been trying to preach on heaven now for the better part of a month, and God kept saying no, and I think I got the green light this morning, especially in light of the Sunday school hour and the studying and preparation for that. It's been tough. Some of our families have been taking a real beating spiritually, and I want you to know that I hurt for you. I really do. We've had to say a temporary goodbye to some loved ones that have gone on home to heaven. Others are in the hospital, and some fighting as far as for their life right now, and all kinds of just a myriad of things going on. And then this week with the Supreme Court's decision to legislate sin, I've decided right away I wasn't going to preach on that this morning. I'm going to wait 1 week. So I temper it, and I don't preach in the flesh. I just feel like that a lot of the core values of America have been gutted, and I just, I'll get in the flesh if I go that direction, so I don't want to do that right now. But we as a people of God and as a nation, we have got to hold to the Bible. We have got to hold to Judeo-Christian ethics, to the Word of God, to the very commands of God. And in spite of whatever is legislated and called equality, and that's not what it was about. That's how it's being papered. Well, I'm going in that direction again, aren't I? Let's go back to heaven, all right? First Peter and chapter 1. We just read, our assistant pastor Josh just read concerning an inheritance. Let's look at it again very quickly. And that's undefiled and that fadeth not away. I'm thankful in spite of all of the difficulties of life and all that is going on today, maybe even within the four walls of your household. If you do not understand, there is satanic attack going on from every direction. And that's how the devil works. And I just want to remind you this morning that the best is yet to come. I just want to take a fresh look at heaven this morning. And I'll remind you that this world is not all there is. I got a reservation in my Father's house. Just read about it in 1 Peter in chapter 1. It's undefiled, it's incorruptible, and it fades not away. Fanciest restaurant I ever went to in my life, I was about 20 years of age, traveling with a college chorale, a music group representing the Bible College. And it was at it. We stayed in people's homes every weekend, sometimes two different people's homes on the weekend. It was a very busy time in life as far as growing, and I got to preach everywhere I went, my little 5-minute message, and got to hone my presentation of the gospel, and God certainly blessed. But I remember one time I was down in Indianapolis, and we stayed in the home of a scientist. And boy, I was impressed with his house. Wow, I mean, a mansion. And I was excited. And he said, I want to take you guys out for steak tonight. There was two other men with me in the corral that we stayed together in the same home. I thought, man, that's great. And we went to get in his car. So, no, not this car. And he opened up another garage, and he had a big fancy car in there. I would call it a limousine. I don't know if that's what he called it or not. And it wasn't chauffeur driven. He drove it. But I remember that car was so smooth. And I mean, a 20-year-old boy, and I'm experiencing things that, I'd never saw in the UP before. And we went, and there was a great big, he took us to a steakhouse, and there was a great big line of people out on the block, out in the city block. And man, we're going to be here for hours. We walked right by everybody. You know why? We had a reservation. Everybody stood in line, and we walked by them. And after I walked by a few, I'm just following my host, I realized, and I was underdressed. I could see, I had the best I had on, but I could see I was underdressed. And we walked by everybody, and they're just kind of, who are those guys? We had a reservation. We got in, and a maitre d', that's what he calls them, I think. I think that's what they call them. I'm not really sure. We don't have them in the UP, but He stood at our table with a towel over his arm, and he stood there the whole time, and he waited on us hand and foot. And I ate probably what I thought was the best steak I'd ever eaten in my life. You know why all that happened? We had a reservation. I'm asking you this morning, and I'm telling you this morning to make sure you have a reservation for a place called heaven. And the Bible in Hebrews in chapter 11, if you'll turn there, I may jump around a little bit this morning. I'm going to try to make this as concise as I possibly can. Chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, I just read this at Corky's funeral. I'd like to read it a little bit here this morning. Verse 9 says, by faith, Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country. That means he didn't belong there. Dwelling in tabernacles, that's temporary housing. Abraham lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham traveled in a strange land, that's this earth. He was a pilgrim in search of a city. He lived in tents because everything on this earth is temporary. He was in search of a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out or came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. John in chapter 14, I'll close the message with it this morning. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to bring you there someday in my Father's house, my home. Abraham sought and desired that land called heaven. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, would you turn there? I want to look at the first four verses, and it'll be quick. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, place called heaven. Just days ago, Corky was ready to make that trip, and then he made it. He said these words, I want to go home. Amen. He assured me that everything was fine and his loved ones. I've sat at the bedside of saints that have left this earth. I'm not afraid of dying. I've seen enough of it. I know that if you're not saved, you ought to be afraid of dying. But if you're born again, you're going home. Ye who are weary, those that are carrying a heavy burden, you're going home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. What a great song that is. So the battle gets hot from time to time. Glenn told me in the hospital room down in Petoskey, talking about praying for his recovery. I thought it was very mature, spiritually mature on the part of Glenn. He said, you know, God doesn't always give us what we pray for. He said that after I prayed for his healing. I don't know what's going on in his life and what God has for him, and I pray he has a whole lot longer here on this earth. But the truth is, when we get to heaven, we would never come back here. Never. See, wouldn't it be great to have the testimony of someone that was accurate, that went to heaven and came back? Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was in the Bible? It is. 2 Corinthians, you just happened to be there already. Chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul was stoned and he was left for dead. And many believe that's actually the point in time when this happened to the Apostle Paul. And he said, it is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. He's talking about himself. The Apostle Paul is speaking in the third person. And he says, whether in the body or out of the or in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, not the atmospheric heaven, not the stellar heaven, but the abode of God. The Jews believed there were three heavens, and literally, we've got the atmosphere that we read, first heaven, where the birds fly. There's the stellar heaven, that's where the stars are, and the sun is, and the moon, and all of that. And then there's the third heaven, and that's the abode of God. And Paul said over 13 years ago, I knew a man, speaking of himself, that was caught up to the third heaven, to the home of God. I knew such a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I heard things. And I saw things that I can't put in human language. I want to assure you, you that are born again, the great God of heaven that created this earth. And I think we'd all agree there's beauty in this earth. Even after 6,000 years of being tainted by sin. Can you imagine what God's heaven is like? I assure you, the heaven that God has waiting for you as a child of God is far better than anything you could ever dream of. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Every saint of God, every child of God that's left this life and gone on home to heaven, they wouldn't come back if they had a choice. Man, they are right now. We think we're living on this earth. They're more alive than they ever were on this earth. Now they know what eternal life is really all about. Let's take our Bibles. And by the way, the Apostle Paul, the same Apostle Paul that wrote this letter to the Corinthians, said to the church at Philippi, I'm in a hard place. I'm in a strait between two places, between heaven and earth. He said, I've been to heaven. I've seen it. And I want to go. I want to go to heaven. But yet, nevertheless, I know that I need to minister here on this earth. And my time on this earth is not through. So I'm at God's beck and calling. I'm going to do whatever he wants. But I want you to understand, my heart is already in heaven. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go to Revelation in chapter 21. Revelation in chapter 21. I'm going to try not to meander too much in this message this morning, more than I already have. But I just want you to know you can take this old, corrupt, sin-stained, impoverished world. Don't make your loves down here in this world. Man, love the things of God. Set your affection, Paul said, on things from above, not on things here in this earth. Heaven, I'm telling you, I'm the under shepherd here, I'm your pastor, and I'm telling you, you're going to get to heaven. You're going to come up to me and say, preacher, you didn't tell me enough about heaven. You didn't make it good enough, because what a wonderful, I say, man, isn't it ever a wonderful place? And we're going to rejoice for all of eternity. Understand, heaven is waiting for the child of God. Hell is waiting for the one who does not receive Christ as their Savior. That's why the gospel is so important. We got to get the good news out, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the devil, he wants to take everybody to the devil's hell. And the choice is just simply come to Christ. The price has been paid for your sin. The ticket on the railroad to heaven, it's already been taken care of, paid in full. All you got to do is trust Christ. You make that decision. You take Christ as your Savior, and you'll have heaven waiting for you. No matter how good or how bad this earth is to you, you'll have heaven waiting for you. Revelation in chapter 21, It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God showed this to John, the apostle John, and John wrote the book of Revelation. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I got to thinking about heaven. I don't have a great outline, it's just a lot of thoughts. One thing I know that we will be delivered from is the sin curse. Let's go to Genesis in chapter 3. The former things are passed away. I'm willing to blame everything on the devil. I have no problem with that. Mosquito bites me. The mosquitoes are bad. I hate the devil. I can't imagine what the reason for those mosquitoes are, other than that the devil's got them all stirred up and they're sucking the blood out of everybody up here in the Upper Peninsula. And that's why the mosquitoes are so big up here, by the way. They're well fed. And everything that's going wrong in the world, I'm telling you truthfully, no, seriously, everything that is going wrong in the world can be traced back to the devil. Now, he passed that on to man. It's called federal headship. Man chose sin even though he was in the Garden of Eden and knew the fellowship of God and knew the full blessing of God. He still listened to the serpent and chose sin, and Adam died that day in the garden spiritually. And Romans in chapter 5 and verse 12 says, death passed upon all men. We're children of Adam. That's why we're selfish. That's why we're self-absorbed. That's why we're always trying to make ourselves comfortable. Because we're fallen men. That's why sin is rampant in the world today. And the Bible tells us would wax worse and worse just before Jesus comes. And it's happening with 7 billion people here. But let's look at Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled or deceived me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, this is a sin curse, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, and this is a messianic prophecy here. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was concerning Calvary. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Never given birth to a baby, but I hear it's tough. And there's a lot of pain involved. God never intended it to be that way. It's part of the sin curse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt thou return. That's the sin curse. We struggle in life because of sin. God intended us to be industrious. Adam was supposed to keep the garden. Adam was a farmer, you know, and God intended us to be that way, but because of sin, now everything's hard. I sweat. Things go wrong. I am no carpenter. I am no mechanic. It's good that people do those things around me so that I don't lose my temper on a regular basis. I build something always goes wrong. Always. I get so upset with boards and saws and measuring tapes that aren't accurate. That happens all the time in my life. And it's part of the struggle of life. It's there. And I want to blame somebody, and I can't blame anybody, you know. But I can blame the devil. It's all part of the sin curse. You realize that in heaven, there'll be no sin curse. The curse is going to be lifted. It'll be a joy to serve God. It'll be a joy to be of service to other people. And we aren't going to toil with the sweat of our brow. It'll be enjoyment, and we'll be giving of ourselves the way we ought to give. And man, I just look forward to no longer hitting my thumb with a hammer, no longer, you know, just doing stupid things. And you know that there's a commercial on TV right now. I saw it. I watch the news every day, and I saw a commercial on TV where this lady, it's sad, where the lady's looking for her car keys, and the husband says, "Well, I'll help you look for it." And he opens up the refrigerator, and there's the car keys behind the milk. And it's about Alzheimer's. And it's a sad commercial. I'm thinking, if that's a sign of Alzheimer's, I'm in a lot of trouble. Because there is not a more forgetful person than me. I make lists every day. I never get to the end of the day, rarely get to the end of the day, and still have that list in my possession. I don't know what happens to it. It just kind of flies away. And it's amazing. And then I'll find it 3 days later. So, man, wow. Well, I did get that done. All right, good. And I did. Oh, I didn't do that yet. You know, it's amazing. The sin curse. This is one of the great things about heaven. It's not the best thing, but it's one of the great things. The sin curse is going to be lifted. Man, there won't be any more death. We won't be saying goodbye. No longer will that happen. Because the sin curse, it's going to be heaven. We're going to live forever. It's called eternal life. We're going to live in the celestial city. And oh, the description of the celestial city is what a wonderful place it's going to be. But that isn't even what's getting me excited this morning. And we're going to go to and fro. We're not going to stay in that city. There's going to be jobs to do. I can't wait for God's heaven. To me, heaven on earth right now is everything done, and I'm in a rocking chair, and I'm drinking lemonade, and it's the cool of the day, and there's a breeze, and I'm able to read my Bible. And there's no pressures. I haven't experienced that in a long, long time. But that is the closest. And that is so sad, because I'm going to get there and I'm going to say, I should have came a long time ago. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying there in the book of Philippians. No more sin curse. It's going to be lifted. The former things are passed away. No more people problems. God shall wipe away all tears. In Ephesians in chapter 4. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It's unfortunate we have people problems, especially since there's 7 billion people on this earth. You know, you can't get away from rubbing shoulders with one another. And when you rub shoulders, there's friction and there's difficulties along the way. That's life. And boy, I've accepted that a long time ago. It says in verse 11, and God gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. You know when that's going to happen? Heaven. We strive for it here. It's called progressive sanctification, if you're a theologian. But you're never going to arrive. No one is ever going to reach sinless perfection here on this earth. God gave pastors, God gave apostles, God gave evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. That doesn't mean we're ever going to arrive. That's the struggle. We're to be more and more like Jesus as we travel through on this journey called life as children of God. We'll never fully reach the stature of Christ until we hear welcome home. And I look forward to that. It's amazing how many people I can offend in a week. A lot of times it's the people that I'm the closest to. I offend people accidentally. I am that big of a clod that I go through life and I can step on somebody and not even know I've stepped on them. And 3 days later, I get wind of something, and so I apologize. Listen to me. I apologize to the whole family of God here this morning. One day we'll be perfected. And the people problems will be no more. And God shall wipe away all tears. 1 John chapter 2. Let's go there. 1 John in chapter 2. No more world problems. 5 black-robed judges who are world smart and Bible stupid turned America towards the plains of Sodom. And I'm not going to get on that yet. I just wanted to say that because We don't need to be, we don't need the wisdom of the world. And they're so smug, like somehow it's equality. It's perversion. It's against the laws of nature and the laws, against the laws of nature's God. That's all self-evident. 1 John in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pretty harsh. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world is in a hot mess. America has gotten and drifted farther and farther from God. Is there another nation being raised to carry the gospel? Perhaps. Or perhaps this is it. And the trumpet is going to sound. And we go home. I'm not saying that that one sweep of the pen, everything changes in America. I'm saying I don't recognize America anymore. You talk to the older people, they're hot. Talk to the younger people, it's no big deal. And it's where we are. But when I get home, the sin curse is going to be gone. My own fleshly people problems will be gone. No more world problems. The Antichrist is going to try to deliver on that, but he isn't going to be able to. 1 John chapter 3, let's look at that. Just go over a page, chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. No more me problems. This goes along with people problems. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him, knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Talking about our glorified bodies. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There won't be any more me problems when I get to heaven. I shave every morning, and when I look in the mirror and lather up, I look at the biggest problem I have. I shave him every morning. He complains sometimes in that mirror. It's, you might be scary if you saw me shaving. You know, and I see the imperfections, and he's my biggest problem. And I've got to die to self and live unto God. I'm still in this world, and I still have feet of clay. I'm still a fallen sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. And one day there'll be reunion time. In the book of Genesis, it speaks of Abraham dying. And we won't turn there. I don't have time to turn there now, but it says that he was gathered unto his people. What a beautiful way to describe death. On more than one occasion, he was gathered unto his people. His people are in heaven. Hebrews in chapter 12 talks about a great heavenly host. There's going to be a reunion day. We did this on a Sunday night not too long ago, and it got close to just people weeping and shouting, naming the names of brethren that have left our church family and gone home to heaven. The most recent being Corky. And we could go down a list that's unbelievable, and names were shouted out that I've forgotten about. We're going to get to heaven, and they're there waiting for us.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.